Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, John Dunford. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1252, we present three stories by new Life Rattle writer, Grace Ju-Young Lee. Grace Ju-Young Lee was born in Seoul, Korea, on her mother's 28th birthday in 1983. She was exposed to the world of the performing arts early in life by her mother, a professional dancer. Since then, Grace has dreamed of a career in the performing and creative arts. At the age of 13, she and her family moved to Vancouver, Canada, where she was involved in school and community theater productions, various dance recitals, choir, and as a flutist in her high school orchestra. Grace had her first conflict with her family when she moved to Toronto to attend university. Her plan to pursue a career in acting was forcefully stopped by her father, a physician. Under her father's direction, she transferred from the Arundale Theatre program to the biology program. This made her miserable, and she questioned why people so strongly believe in the stereotype of the poor artist, and that the only stable jobs were in the fields of science. Grace tried to add some art to her life. After she choreographed a dance for an Italian play performed by the UTM Italian language students in 2005, she withdrew from school and moved back to Seoul. There, she made her living through stage acting and teaching English. In 2011, Grace Ju-Young Lee returned to school, this time taking courses she desired, creative writing and social geography. She hopes to continue her career in acting and writing. Grace Ju-Young Lee's writing is guileless and candid, her voice frank and authentic. She is unafraid to show herself, laying bare the innocent, sometimes mischievous, and often funny, thoughts and emotions of a little girl's world. Tonight's three stories take place in Grace's home country of Korea, when she is a small child, and reflect her Korean culture. In tonight's first story, our narrator's slightly older cousin tells her a far-fetched tale about where babies come from as they sit in a ginseng-infused bath pool and stare at the belly of a very pregnant woman. Let's listen now as Grace Ju-Young Lee reads her story, A Woman's Fate, tonight on Life Rattle.
A Woman's Fate by Grace Ju-Young Lee. I push open the heavy glass door to the bathing area of Seoul Public Bath. Steam rushes out and the hot air surrounds and embraces my naked body. Water flows over the floor, reflecting the ceiling's white light. I try to step inside, but a woman at the entrance blocks my way. She talks to another woman who was just leaving as she had entered. Their children attend the same school. The woman's chubby buttocks block my sight. Her butt, twice as big as my mother's. I walk to the side of the two women and tiptoe around them. I scan the room and look for my mom and my 16-year-old cousin Somi. Numerous shower stands stick out of the wall on one side of the public bath and three cubicle-sized saunas, dry, wet, and Turkish steam, stand on the opposite side. Two massage shower plates hang from the ceiling next to them and look just like emergency shower stations in a chemistry lab. I hear voices echo and hollow tapping sounds. A massage therapist rubs down a woman's body, the inside of her thigh, butt, breast, and belly. The naked woman on the massage table, wearing a grounded cucumber mask on her face, snorts. Other naked woman walks around, holding basket full of shampoo bottles and soap. Some wash their hair, some sit in the pools, and some gossip as they stand under the massage showers, exposing their belly to the cold water. 5 pools sit side by side at the center of the public bath, each filled with different scented water. I glanced at the signs. Jade bath, 40 degrees Celsius. Cold bath, 27. Charcoal bath, 43. Mugwort bath, 42. And ginseng bath, 40 degrees Celsius. I wonder why they don't have a strawberry bath or a cotton candy bath. I walked towards the ginseng bath pool, the only one with overflowing white foam. Somi, sitting in the charcoal bath pool, stares at me. I wave at her to sit with me. She pulls herself out of the pool. Brown-colored water drips down along her curves. Somi steps into the pool and lowers herself beside me. I splash water. The foam flies in the air like snowflakes. I splash as I swim to the middle of the pool. Foam bubbles dance down onto my hair. "Just stop that," Somi yells. I give her my cutesy, "I'm sorry" look. I raise my eyebrows. She stares me back. I wade over to Somi and sit quietly. I carefully blow and squeeze the foam and watch it ooze between my fingers. Somi sits in boredom. She crosses her arms over her chest. She leans her body against the rim of the bath pool, her head against the edge. Somi looks different. The last time we went to the public bath together, she had a body like mine. Now she had a body like mommy's. She had breasts. I noticed that as her breasts grown, she had become quieter, meaner, and angrier. She no longer wants to play dolls with me. I feel hot and climb up the rim of the pool and sit on the edge. "I'm thirsty. Can you buy me sake? A sweet rice beverage," I ask. "Go ask your mom," she answers. But I can't find her. She must be in one of those sauna rooms. I sigh and face away from Somi. As I climb out of the pool, I see a pregnant woman and her friend slide into the pool next to us. The woman's belly button pops out. "Look," I whisper in Somi's ear after I jumped back into the pool. She glimpses at the pregnant woman, then smiles. Somi leans towards my ear. "Do you know why?" she whispers. I shake my head. Her belly button pops out because the baby is ready to come out from there. "Babies come out from a belly button?" Somi nods her head. "When the time is right, the popped belly button rips open and the baby's head comes out. It's scary, right?" I nod. "That's why your mom told you you were born from a cabbage." I look at the pregnant woman. She sits comfortably in the jade bath pool. The clear water reveals the round shape of her belly. "I don't want to have a baby," I murmur. "Well, you have to. If you don't, something bad will happen." Somi has a worried look on her face. "No, why?" "You know I'm growing my breast, right?" "Yes." "Yeah, I know. And why is that important?" "Because it's the first step. Your breasts are your baby's lunchboxes." "Ew." I look away. "What grade are you in?" Somi asks. I show her my index finger. 1. If you're unlucky, by the time you are in grade 5, You will grow breasts like mine. Once you have your breasts, she then points to my private place under the water. You will grow hair there. And then you can have babies anytime. My mind goes blank. Somi brushes my hair gently and talks softly into my ear. I know you don't like it, because I don't either. But that's our fate as women, she says. You grow breasts so you can feed your baby at any time. You grow hair there to keep your baby warm during the winter. I don't want to grow breasts. I don't want hair. And I don't want babies. Tears fill in my eyes. I can't see. Somi hugs me and rubs my bare back. If you don't have a baby, your breast will rot. You see the grandma there? Do you want your breast go bad like hers? She points at an old lady at a shower stand. The woman looks like she has a pair of dried zucchinis hanging in place of her breasts. I close my eyes and shake my head. Somi holds me tighter. And once you grow hair there, you have to be very, very careful. Why? She opens her eyes wider and lowers her voice. The hair is made out of mold. It's very itchy and painful. Every time you lie or do something bad, the mold will spread from there, and it will cover your whole body. What? My voice echoes around the public bath. Some of the women look at us. Somi puts her finger to her lips. Shh. You know adults never scream like you, right? That's because if they do, the mold they have will grow. You have to be very responsible. I feel like Somi's eyes pin me down. I twist my body and escape from her arms. I jump out of the pool and run towards my mom when I see her walk out of the sauna. Be careful, Somi shouts at the back of my head. You might sleep. I turn my head and look back at her. She beams an angelic smile at me.
That was Grace Ju Young Lee reading her story, A Woman's Fate. In our second story tonight, our narrator buys four cheap, sick chicks from a man who squats in front of her elementary school, knowing her mother disapproves. Let's listen now as Grace Ju Young Lee reads her story, I'm Sorry, Toto.
I'm Sorry, Toto, by Grace Ju Young Lee. Spring, early 1990s, Seoul. A man wearing a worn-out parka and smoking a cigarette squats in front of my school selling chicks dyed in many different colors. The school security guard chased him away, but he comes back the next day with a box full of colorful balls of fur. Green, red, blue, pink, purple, gray, even black. None of the chicks have enough energy to walk. They sit side by side and every now and then they chirp helplessly. How many do you want? The man asks. I hold out my hand and spread four fingers. What color do you want, girl? He asks in a husky voice. The smell of cigarette stink tickles my nose each time he opens his mouth. When I am about to choose, I hear my mom's voice echo in my head. It's illegal to sell them in front of the school. I hesitate. I point at the ones I like. All right, a pink, a light purple, a baby blue, and, okay, a green. The man smiles and shows yellow teeth, almost as dark as overripe bananas. That would be 2,201. This means each chick cost me about 50 cents for a total of $2 in Canadian money. You know why they're so cheap? It's because they're sick. Mom's warning echoes in my head again. You don't know what kind of disease they have. That's why the chicken farms are throwing them out. And that man just found them and collared them. That's why they're so cheap. They only live about a week. Gianna. Mom's voice fills the hollowed living room, and she looks down at the box I hold in my hands. What did Mommy tell you? No animals. We don't have place for them. But you have Nabi at your home. My grandmother has a big Russian blue cat called Nabi. I don't know why she was named Nabi, which means butterfly in Korean. The 15-year-old cat has lived in Granny's house even before I was born. Mom grew up with Nabi and with all different kinds of animals. I love Nabi. Every time I go to Granny's house, I want to bring her back home with me. That's different, Mom says. Granny's home is a house with a garden. We live on the 10th floor of a condo. It's dirty to keep them anyway. You got them from the street. Now, go return it. But the man is gone already. I don't care. I told you already, it's illegal, so throw them away. No, I scream. Yes. Don't make me repeat myself. They will live only a few days. Those chicks are too weak. I told you they are sick. You don't know what kind of disease they have. That's why the chicken farms threw them out, and the men just found them and collared them. That's why they're so cheap. They only live about a week. Mom, don't raise your voice. Did I teach you to behave like that? That's rude. Mom doesn't like a rude girl. Do you want Mommy to get mad at you? Do you want Mommy to hate you? I shake my head. I will. Mom walks away. I stand at the doorstep and wait for her permission to keep them. She walks straight into the kitchen and doesn't look back. I don't move until Mom walks back out. All right. We can have them, she says. But we can ask Granny to keep them. And you will go every Sunday to see them, good? I say nothing. If you don't want that, then we should throw them into the garbage right now, because we can keep them, right? I take the only option open to me. Good. You can keep them here until this Sunday. Mom pats my head. I spend the next 3 days with the chicks. I keep them in a brown cardboard box in a corner of our living room. I name them Toto, Coco, Lulu, and Hannah. Toto, the green chick, has an ugly character. He attacks the other in the box. When I feed them a bowl of millet, he pecks the others and chases them away from the food. He enjoys hazing the other chicks, especially my favorite, Hannah, the light purple one, the weakest chick. At first, I think Toto is jealous. Then I realize he just has a mean character. I decide to punish him. I hold Toto in my hand. He closes his eyes. I think I might be holding him too hard. I loosen my grip. Toto chirps. I realize he's closed his eyes because he's afraid of the height. Toto, you're scared, but that doesn't mean you won't get punished. I think of spanking Toto. But how? A finger? What can I do to discipline this little bad boy? Right, shaking. I hold Toto in both my hands. I shake them. I told you not to peck the others. As my grip loosens, Toto slips out of my hands. I feel a cold wind pass through my empty fingers. Toto flaps his short green wings, tries to fly, fails, and falls hopelessly to the ground. Toto! I yell and run. I pick him up. He opens his eyes, then closes them again. I don't think I've killed him. Phew. But he isn't standing back up. What's wrong, Toto? I examine his body. I saw you throw that poor chicken. Mom's voice shadows me like a big dark cloud. I look up and see her gaze down at me. I didn't. I saw you doing it. I was at the kitchen, but it doesn't mean I can't see. No, I didn't throw him. Toto flew out of his own. It's his fault. That's not important. Let's see what happened to him. And in worst case, let's try to bring him to a doctor, okay? Toto dies an hour later.
That was Grace Ju Young Lee reading her story, I'm Sorry Toto. In tonight's final story, Granny's Chicken Stew, Grace's grandmother permits her to keep her two lady chickens, Coco and Lulu, in her backyard. During a visit, Grace can't find them and casts a suspicious eye on her mother's cat, Nabby. Let's listen now as Grace Ju Young Lee reads her story, Granny's Chicken Stew.
Granny's Chicken Stew by Grace Ju Young Lee. Granny, I scream and run into my grandmother's house. Granny, Granny, where are my Coco and Lulu? I don't see her as I run past the living room and dining area and into the backyard garden to check on my chickens. I bought four of them from a man who had been squatting down in front of my school. The chicks were dyed into various colors and looked sick and helpless. I rescued them from the small dirty box they lived in. Two of the chicks, Toto and Hana, died, and the other two, Coco and Lulu, survived. I hear Meow and see Nabi in the backyard. I love cats. I think they are the most gorgeous creature that ever existed on Earth. I love their green eyes that look like emerald during the day and glow bright at night. I love the nature of their character, affectionate yet also arrogant and classy. Unlike dogs, cats don't annoy me. They never nag for attention or affection. They have manners. They have pride. They know how to not beg for attention and yet still get loved. I love Nabi for these reasons. But Nabi belongs to Granny. Coco and Lulu belong to me. I bought a cage for my chicken girls to keep them separate from Nabi. She had threatened my two chickens and I needed to protect them. I don't want to lose the last two chickens. Nabi hadn't killed the first two. They died because of me. Coco and Lulu have grown into nice lady chickens. They have white fluffy feathers. They no longer get sick. They eat well, and they recognize me. Who said chickens are dumb? I feel proud of them. I feel like I understand what it's like to be a mother. As I walk further into the backyard, my grandmother calls me for dinner. What is it? I ask. It's chicken stew, Granny replies. Ah, I love your stew, I shout. In a pot, marinate with pepper, oil, onions, potatoes, gochujang, and other Korean ingredients, the chicken stew boils. Mom and Granny brings the big pot to the center of the table. Somi, my cousin, helps to set the table. She places a bowl of rice and an empty bowl for the stew in front of each of us. I reach out and scoop some potatoes, green vegetables, and two drumsticks from the pot and place them in my bowl. I put my face over the bowl and dig into the food. It's spicy but sweet enough that I enjoy the chicken stew. No, Somi says. You wait. It's all right. She's a baby, Granny says. But Granny, you're spoiling her. I bet her mother will teach her table manners when she grows a little older. Granny smiles. Somi stares at me. I stick my tongue out at her. She sits quietly, waiting for her turn to scoop chicken stew into her bowl. I add my rice to the stew. I know Korean custom. I'm the youngest at the table, and I could be spanked on the spot for reaching for the food before my elders. But Granny really loves my mom. Grandpa and Granny had always wanted a girl. After having four boys, they finally got their wish, my mom. Watch your mouth, she's your granny. Somi's dad, my uncle, warns her. She's 10. I think she's not a baby anymore. She should have waited for her turn. Who told you to talk back? My uncle yells. Are you saying that you are all grown up now? After finishing the meal, I go out into the backyard to try and find the chicken again. The cage is empty. I turn back and look for Nabi. Nabi! I hear her meow and see her walk towards me. She knows that I like her. Nabi likes to go between my legs, likes it when I pet her. Likes it when I give snacks from a cupboard in the kitchen. She always runs to me when I call her. As always, she weaves between my legs. She's surprised when I spank her. Nabi's hair stands straight up, and she steps back towards the house. She bends her body into an arc, the sign that she will attack. What did you do with my chicken? I yell. What did you do? Nabi slowly moves backward. I stare at her. I hear my grandmother from the kitchen window yell, "Don't bully Nabi." But she killed my chicken, I shout back. Granny laughs. What are you talking about? They're in your tummy. They were in the stew you loved. I turn white. I run into the kitchen. What did you say, Granny? Why? Oh dear. You wanted to bring them to Canada with you. You didn't have to kill them, I yell. Tears fill my eyes. You know you can't bring chickens with you to Canada, so I helped you, Granny smiles. Now you can be with your chickens forever. I see Somi smile and then stick her tongue out at me.
That was Grace Du Young Lee reading her story, Granny's Chicken Stew. This concludes Life Rattle number 1252. My name is John Dunford. Lori Callis recorded Grace reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Tune into Life Rattle next Thursday to hear more new stories by Grace Du Young Lee.